The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Natalya and Tyson Kidd tying the knot. They got married on Total Divas.
Look at the anvil.
Yeah, it's Jim the Anvil Neidhart, the father of the bride.
Was he the flower girl?
No, that's Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Oh, I knew I recognized him.
Any wedding in the WWE is always great. I just want to tell you, love is grand, but divorce is 100 grand. So stay married.
This one actually happened, this wedding.
This is awesome. Whenever see people get married and then wrestle, it'd be like watching Uncle Elmer and Joyce wrestle together.
Oh, my Lord.
Can you imagine in a tag team match, Uncle Elmer and Joyce?
Could you use something that maybe was in this century?
And then you just go to Uncle Elmer?
Yes. Elmo? What? Tyson Kidd.
After seeing Jim the Anvil Neidhart that suit, I'd be thrown off. I'm just kidding. I love you out there, Jim. Did Tyson take Natty's last name?
No, he's Tyson Kidd and Natalya Hart. No, not Hart. I guess it would be
Natalya Kidd.
No.
You are spot on tonight. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it does his homework.
Natalya Neidhart is what I was trying to say.
There you go. April didn't look too happy at that wedding.
Squeeze!
That's because the father of the bride always had to pay for the wedding.
The team of Natalya and Tyson Kidd.
Marriage doing wonders for Tyson and Natalya in the ring.
Mr. and Mrs. Kidd.
Happy wife, happy life. Remember that, Tyson?
I know that well. I've had a bunch of them. Let's go back to the locker room.
He just gave her a perfunctory hug. I don't know how long this marriage is going to last.
Our broadcast colleague, Renee Young,
standing
by.
That's not much of a kiss either.
Happily married, happily back in the ring, and hopefully happily being relevant in the WWE again. We've missed you, Tyson Kidd, and we won't miss a beat here at the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and let's see who I have around the table tonight. Let's see. Let's start all the way on the other side of the planet with Mr. Shane Beeman.
Yes, Tyson Kidd, we will not miss the fact that your wife's name is Mrs. Kidd. I'm like JBL.
And emanating from the Sunshine State, Chris Waters.
I'm surprised they could get a suit for Jim Neidhart that was big enough to fit him right there.
I was a little more worried about his limp. Oh, and we couldn't have it. We needed a proper fourth, so I went and got fourth.
All I know is that commentary made what was already a good match even better.
And that was the line I was looking for, and I got to thank Jim for finding it for me, of Lawler saying, love is grand, but divorce is 100 grand. That was the line I was trying to think of the other day. So, but yes, Tyson Kidd is back. I am so glad that he is. He is healthy. He is happy. And what was that noise? Never mind. All right, but that was one of the small parts of Raw, since a lot of it was actually over the big legal flap over the Banned for Life Big Show. As I explained, the translation for that is he isn't going anywhere forth.
And I honestly found it a little surprising that they basically went with the whole band deal for only a week and a half or 2 weeks. You'd at least think they would at least try to go a little bit longer to sell it.
I'm thinking that it's being slightly rushed because this is going to get tied into Survivor Series. But one of the things that seemed to be off was the timing during this promo, where Big Show essentially, while Big Show was, for lack of a better term, bargaining to get his job back, Shane.
Yeah, indeed. And apparently the evil Doc was not very happy backstage and was very visibly upset in the ring.
There's some fan cam out there that when the Shield came out, they weren't supposed to come out then. And the evil Doc blew his stack out there in the ring, and I think if I saw the video correctly, he grabbed one of the handheld headsets so he could yell at somebody. So I couldn't see it very well. The quality was very poor, but then again, we were coming up on the end of the show, and who was going to throw this kid out? But the show itself, Chris, was built around the informal case of Big Show and JBL in the court of opinion.
Yeah, and the question is, which one do you really have to fault more? Triple H and Stephanie for being verbally abusive, or Big Show for trespassing? And the answer is... Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I'm a little, you know, I'm still shaking my head at this whole angle.
I'm shaking my head that they didn't get Otunga on TV and just had him do a one thing for WWE.com, and that's it.
And see, this is what surprises me. I guess after Little People's Court, they didn't want to do another courtroom venture, or maybe it was too soon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just think they just didn't want to do another courtroom thing, because they did another legalish thing for a while back. I think it was something with Sheamus, Del Rio, and Otunga when they were in that one room, and we found out Sheamus had like a Jewish last name or something.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the deposition.
Yes.
Because the only good part of that was the video effect of Sheamus broke kicking the camera.
right.
Because I was thinking of Little People's Court. I was thinking of the trial of Eric Bischoff, where we found out that Maria does have a brain.
Yes.
But it's... I don't want to call it... The storytelling isn't lazy, guys. It's jumbled. It's confusing. It's poorly timed. It sounds like too many cooks in the kitchen.
It definitely is a case of they know the outline of what they want to do, but indeed, like you said, you got one person over here working on one aspect, one on the other, and there's no communication as to how it all fits.
Vince McMahon, this is why you do not push the big red button. You do not push the reset button, you idiots!
Now, the whole show almost feels like a jumbled mess, although that seems to be what the internet thinks of it, Shane, given what's going on with Punk and Brian having to deal with the Wyatt family.
Oh, God. I just love the IWC. Can I just put that? You guys are the smartest people out there. I mean, really. But it's just insane. People are losing their friggin' minds. Yes, Big Show versus Orton, that is not exactly the main event we want to friggin' see, but... If you think of the big picture here, what have they just got Punk and Brian to do? They've just pretty much made them locker room leaders and said that they're big names enough to put over the Wyatt family. For me, that's saying something good. That's not punishing Brian or Punk.
The only thing missing from that for me was there was no Mega Powers style handshake between the two.
Oh, God.
They'll do that at Survivor Series. You may have that as your wild card if you want it.
We'll see. If they don't do it before, then.
Okay. So, but no, Shane's got a point for it. The fact that Brian and Punk are helping haul up another group when they're not, you know, when they're not in the title picture, since it's unfortunately crowded with Orton, The Big Show, John Cena, and Alberto Del Rio.
It definitely is a little unusual at first, but indeed, as it's been pointed out, when you look a little deeper, it's that they're entrusted to, like you said, to help put this gimmick over. And it's not just, we need you guys to just keep them occupied. It's we need them at the next level.
And what do you do? You get these guys up against two former champions and make them all look strong. So, Chris, I can't argue with this kind of booking, even though I would. I'm kind of disappointed that we don't see, you know, Brian and Punk in the main event picture right now.
Yeah, right now I'm thinking this is, if they're going to do anything with either Brian or Punk in the main event picture, they're probably going to save it for the road to WrestleMania, either the Rumble or WrestleMania itself, for either one of them. So they needed to put something for Brian and Punk in the meantime, and the Wyatts. They're new enough that they're mysterious enough and they're dangerous enough by kayfabe standards that they can actually use them to build up a feud that'll keep them busy for a little bit.
So, yeah, I'm kind of, you know, with that perspective, Shane, I got to agree. This is actually going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, definitely. Like, that's what I love. Like, people just lose their friggin' minds over things. They don't think about the future. Yes, we get some crappy main events leading up to the road to WrestleMania, but then we get the payoff for all of it, and you finally get it. But yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. But I tell you what, I was on Twitter, and my God, it was blowing up with hashtag corporate Kane, hashtag Kane in suit. What the F?
Ah, yes. New meaning to power suit, ladies and gentlemen. When Big Show was getting a little out of hand, we had our corporate monster arrive in a red power tie. I got nothing, guys. I was just as scared, if not more scared, of Kane.
I was just amused at the internet having half of them reacting by calling him Joseph Park, the other half saying that Kane's getting into politics.
I would just have loved to have been a fly on the wall at the meeting when they told Kane that he wouldn't have to wear his wrestling gear. He could go out there in a suit.
Got it. I would have loved being the fly on the wall to what exactly does the new director of operations mean? What the hell?
Actually, and the fun part of this is that it fits very well in the Authority storyline, but it's also a nod and a wink to what's going on behind the scenes. While Kane is the evil boss Dr. Levesque's director of operations, there is actually someone in the WWE hierarchy who has been promoted to director of operations from her former position as, what was it, talent relations? Senior Vice President of Talent Relations. Her name is Jane Geddes. She will be replaced by Sean Cleary in Talent Relations while she does the direction of... easy for me to say.
First day with the new tongue, huh?
Yeah. I get that. Okay. But... let's see. Operations for talent and live events. And she's, you know, she's been with the company for a little bit. I have seen her name a couple of times. And Shane, that's not nice.
Oh, I know. It's not, I know it's not nice, but it is sort of, it is kind of fact. But anyways,
That Stephanie works directly under Triple H. Where's the button?
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
And a sexist, anyway.
I thought Triple H just liked assholes. Sorry.
No.
Heck, he fired Ken Anderson, didn't he?
Oh. Well,
I'm just hearing some of my stories I've heard about.
Oh, well, fourth with the save.
Let's just leave it.
Fourth with the save. Meanwhile, Chris, you get the Aguilera.
Wrong!
Okay. So.
I thought my one was bad, but that was just wrong.
That was extremely wrong. Now, you know, well, we've got all this muddying around with the possibility of Punk and Bryan as a tag team. The IWC should be raving about the fact that the two indie darlings are going to could end up getting together and playing around in the tag division. While we've got the Rhodes brothers and motivated Gold Dust is true gold. Can I say that?
I'll allow it.
Gold Dust is probably this is the most motivated I've seen Gold Dust since probably the late 90s. Or maybe actually Book Dust since he tagged with Booker T.
Like it's definitely awesome to see because everything about it just really feels right to have him in the angle now. That I can see that in 08 when he had an interaction with Cody, it just didn't feel genuine, but now it does feel truly organic. And yes, he is motivated to having some pretty awesome tag matches, and it really helps the division quite a bit.
And, you know, once again, him and Cody putting on a clinic with Cena in tow when they fought Sandow and the Real Americans Monday night. Beautiful, beautiful match. And should have been the main event instead of how Big Show got his job back. I understand why Show's thing was the main, but still. Shane, what did you think of that six-man tag?
I thought it was brilliant, and I do have to agree that that Goldust's performances of late, it's been brilliant. I mean, I would go as far as to say I'd give him another Intercontinental title run with how good he's been going. There is one thing I do like about Vince McMahon's whole doing the reset button is the fact that now Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro are actually getting some momentum, whereas they were getting beaten by Los Matadores and other groups. And it's like, oh, God, poor Antonio Cesaro, the, like, best working guy there at the moment, and he's being held down because of what Jack Swagger did in the past. It's just...
Now, let's see. And speaking of the tag division, Chris, you were probably one of the seven people, along with myself, who saw that yet another tag team is back in business as of main event.
Yes. Sans Bicycle, sadly, so I guess they had to sell it to get Hunico back over the border. Hunico and Camacho are back on main event, and they lost to the Usos. But
they're back. And yep. Actually, Chris, I think the money went to the sleeve tattoos that Hunico's got now.
Ah. Which is why he wore the long sleeve on main event.
Yeah, so he essentially looked like a burrito dressed as Jeff Hardy.
That would be an interesting gimmick combination now that I think about it.
Now I almost want him back in the Sin Cara gear, just so now we can tell him apart and actually have a fun feud with it. But these are little things, because now as of now, most of the WWE crew is overseas. As of our taping of November the 8th, they're in Glasgow. They'll be working in Belgium, in Germany. TV will be done in England. They'll be also poking their heads in Wales, Scotland, and Switzerland. And that's all in a stretch of a week. So, yeah, these passports are going to be on fire, Shane.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone, I'm actually just waiting for WWE to come back over to Australia, to be honest with you, because as much as the storylines are a bit meh, the superstars themselves have been going brilliantly, each and every one of them.
Mm-hmm. And they seem, this isn't a knock against, the shows I've attended, but they seem more motivated when they do the international shows. And I would pay a lot of money also for them to go back to Japan. Even though the audience kind of puts people off, I want to see another Raw in Japan.
Definitely. I'd agree with that one. Because the Japanese fans love their wrestling over there, so WWE make a lot of money from doing that. And I do have to agree with they do push themselves when they do international shows. I remember the one they did here back when Eddie was still alive. And I felt like I got a WrestleMania match with Eddie when he had a match with, I believe it was JBL.
Okay. So, you know, the international shows are, you know, always a lot of fun. And we were kind of expecting WWE to coast into their international tour, but they got a lot of business done before they got on the plane. So I can't complain about TV this week. I really can't. Mainly because, and we have to talk about them, guys. I'm sorry. We have to talk about TNA. The place where wrestling matters, and they have to discuss it for most of the show.
Oh, yeah, wrestling matters over there, all right. I can't argue with WWE TV, what they've done, but TNA, hell yeah, I can argue with it. I could write two sheets long of what I've got a problem with it. I mean, Dixie, for starters, Dixie Carter saying that she's got a former world title holder that's going to be appearing on TNA. Okay, good. You leave us in suspense, but you do it for 24 hours and then tell us who it is. And it's not even a world title holder. It's a tag team title holder in Pac-Man Jones. Jesus Christ.
Well, from what I remember when I was last watching TNA, they always count world and tag team titles as world singles titles and world tag team titles as world titles in general. Kind of like, their theory is they want to do it like the Olympic does. If you have a gold medal, then it's a gold medal no matter what. But it still seems
very bait and switch.
Yes.
And that, if anything, is probably what killed their ratings this week. Not to mention that they were taping in the dump known as the Cincinnati Gardens. I have been there. This is not a glamorous building. I was tweeting with somebody who was in attendance, and he told me that they had maybe, what was it, 1,200? It wasn't full by any means. It wasn't Bound for Glory bad, but my friend walked up and got fourth row for TV.
Did that with that ECW show on July 4th, 2006, but
okay, so that's probably a bad example. And given some of my super fan friends who can walk up to the window and get front row spit side day of, damn you Skinny John, damn you Clown, damn you Palette Swap Sign Guy. Oh, I'm getting off topic. So,
yeah, you're allowed to.
Well, first of all, I have something for Dixie Carter. Pac-Man Jones is not ratings, even if you are in Cincinnati.
The only good thing that could be said about Pac-Man was at least this time he could actually perform an offensive move.
Oh, snap.
It's true.
It is true, and I'm sorry, Dixie, but, you know, if you want a rip-off of Elijah Burke, can you just get Elijah Burke back, please? Jesus Christ.
Elijah Burke might actually say yes and come back.
Well, good! At least he can actually wrestle.
Yeah. But if he's, you know, if he's out there, WWE, take another look at him, please. The man can talk. The man can go.
I mean, my God, like, no offense to Pac-Man Jones, no offense to the bloke that was with him. Sorry, I don't remember your bloody name.
Sylvester Turkai.
Okay. All right, well, sorry, I don't remember his name. But you just TNA, you just made a tag team you're supposed to put over and make to look good, and you made them look like a bunch of pussies by having a guy that hasn't wrestled in years and a guy that hasn't wrestled, period, and have them both getting body slammed by them. It's like, what the fuck, man?
So,
it's like, oh, shame.
So, yeah. And it's hard to be motivated to go to a TNA show since their current champion is out defending it in other countries. You know, well, yes, I lauded WWE for doing international shows. At least they bring the whole crew. AJ Styles is out defending his TNA title in AAA, and then he's going to Wrestle One. Great Muda's promotion out in Japan. Next Saturday, November 16th, he will defend it against Seiya Sanada. Rob Terry and Jay Bradley went with him, bodyguards, I guess. And they're going to be touring out there till the beginning of December, which means that if TNA was doing any events forth, they wouldn't have their top champion on the show.
Certainly feels really weird. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to, in effect, recreate the Summer of Punk. But there's only so much people can go with, mainly because, unlike there, where it didn't feel that much like he was a legitimate champion in a complete manner, here, basically, Styles is the official champion no matter what. So it just feels very, very strange.
And Summer of Punk was a lot more organic just because of Punk's roots, Shane, because we knew where Punk came from, so he went back there.
Oh, definitely. Like, this one with AJ Styles, as much as I like AJ Styles, it feels like a rip-off. I'm sorry, but it does. Whereas with Punk, you could feel the passion he had for the business and everything else. Whereas with Styles, it was just like, yeah, this is a work promo if I've ever seen one. Like, didn't move me or anything.
No. And TNA, you know, I'm trying to figure out where TNA got the money to foot the bill to get these guys on a plane, unless they talk AAA and Wrestle One into paying their travel, because TNA is still working on getting their affairs in order for the sale that is supposedly not happening. As the phone rang in Louisville, Kentucky, and Tyler Brown wanted to hang up on them, but TNA made their phone call to OVW and said, never mind. We want all our talent back. Tell them to pack their shit and go to Orlando. Chris, it's not cheap to live down in your neck of the woods. I speak from experience.
Yes, it's not cheap to live down here, but for TNA, I think they needed all the money they can get, and that's probably why they cut OVW.
Right, but my problem is with the wrestlers. I know that you could live in, for what you can pay to get an apartment in Louisville, you will never find anything in Orlando for that price without bars on the windows.
Yeah, that is going to be a problem for them to readjust to that. It just seems. I don't know what I was going to say. I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll move it over here. Fourth, you know, you get a phone call from your boss that you got to move, you know, you got to move 800 miles in another direction, and you're going into a higher cost of living area. No relocation money and probably no raise. What do you do?
It would definitely anger me for sure. I mean, I get they're going to have to try to find a way to adjust, but it's too much, especially because many of the wrestlers, I think Rob Terry is one example, had actually gotten things pretty well situated in Louisville to where actually packing up now, it would just really be very damaging.
It's just a mess. I mean, you know, the good news is they're going to get out before the snow flies, but the bad news is they got to figure out redo their living arrangements, and then they're going to recalculate their budgets because they're going to be paying almost twice as much for, you know, for room and board. So I feel bad for the guys. I kind of feel bad for OVW too, because at least they had a revenue stream coming in, since they were no longer a WWE developmental and probably never will be again, thanks to the Performance Center. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, Denny Davis is shaking his fist at the sky. He's the muckamuck of OVW, by the way.
I know.
So, although TNA does try to tease ways to get you to keep watching, one of the things that they've got coming up is a loser fixes a storyline match between Ken Anderson and who's he fighting? Somebody in Aces and Eights.
I think he's feuding with Bully Ray at the moment.
Okay, so if Anderson wins, Aces and Eights is disbanded. Yay! If Anderson loses, Anderson's gone from TNA. Yay? Or do we translate that as he's not going anywhere, just like we're doing with the Big Show angle right now?
Yeah, it definitely feels like one of those he's not going anywhere moments. And they just re-signed him now to a contract, so there's no real suspense.
I think I can predict how this is going to turn out. Even if Bully Ray wins, we're just going to see what we saw with John Cena back when he was supposedly fired and everything else. We're going to see Ken Anderson come back and take out one member of Aces and Eights at a time before getting to Bully Ray and yada, yada, yada. You guys know how this storyline goes.
Yeah, God, that sounds really familiar.
Well, no, it's truly a ripoff if Ken Anderson buries Bully Ray in a bunch of chairs at a pay-per-view or major event.
Bingo.
Oh, please. You wouldn't need to do that. Just tell the fans that they'll never get their six-sided ring back and watch the chairs just fly in. Asshole!
If we can get Terry Funk wandering in like he did in that one ECW show when they threw all the chairs in the ring.
Yeah.
Yes, and Mick Foley still to this day regrets asking for a chair.
Yes.
And Mick Foley is probably still owed gimmick infringement money from Bully Ray for pulling it at a independent show at the ECW arena back in 2006. I was in the middle of that. And yes, I threw my chair. You think I'm going to just stand there and watch?
You're Heyman, you know the history.
Exactly. You throw your chair, you duck and cover.
I'm sorry, when's the last time you've heard Heyman and duck in the same sentence? It's like, never! Get in there!
I just worry about the chairs that were coming in from the fourth and fifth throws, and if those guys were sober enough to aim. I wondered when the GM was going to show up. Let's see what the GM has to say.
On the virtual boy, what does the GM have to say today?
Yeah, really. He does not have much to say. No, there we go. First he's asking if anybody wants to loan him $2,000 because he wants to go to WrestleMania. I don't have it, and you know none of us have it. Yeah, seriously. I gotta try that. Go to Indiegogo and say, hey, somebody buy me a ticket to WrestleMania. Anyway.
Yeah, sure. Let me send you that by Kangaroo Express.
That won't get here to WrestleMania 31. Kangaroos don't swim very fast.
Well, he said, he only said, can you get tickets for WrestleMania? He wasn't very specific which one.
He wants to get you the tickets for WrestleMania 38 when the Iron Sheik finally gets to the ring from the, when he was walking from WrestleMania 17.
God love you, Brain. Okay. GM also says, don't forget the reason that you actually dragged Chris out of the server room for the third time.
Hey, I thought we got over that. I thought...
Well, like I said, we got that figured out.
Yeah, if the pastry don't fit, you must acquit. I thought we went over that already.
I'm going to go double check the locks to the server room. And I'm just never mind about this email. Let's roll some commercials. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Network, online, on demand, and on the go.
We're back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Shane Beeman, Chris Waters, and forth. Now, you guys have already cleared your schedules for next week, I'd hope, because next week is our 300th episode. We are going to be celebrating 6+ years. And indeed, 300 episodes of this nonsense. Now, Chris, you're one of the newest people on here, so you're probably not going to know much about the two guests that I have confirmed for our 300th show.
I'll have to do some research in the next week.
The first individual we've had on the show a couple of times, and he is nothing but pure energy and optimism, and he is somebody that I think everybody should sit down and talk with for a shorter period of time, and then when you're done, just keep him distracted so I can deflate the tires to his wheelchair. So, yes, confirmed for our next show, MCWA promoter Johnny Bad Wheels. Very good friend of mine.
I do know about him because I listened to the last episode of when you were on the old place.
There you go. So, yeah, he's coming back. Also, to the delight of many of our regular listeners and most of our panels, I was able to confirm in the last 24 hours to add to our panel a special guest who holds a dear place in my heart as one of my best clients, as one of my funniest clients, as one of the best traveling partners you could ever have. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, Super Oprah.
Nice.
And if you don't know anything about Super Oprah, just go to YouTube and look her up. You'll find a few matches that I managed, including my last match in Ohio. Damn you, David Lanning. Just for that, I should try to find a way to get him on the show. I am looking at a few other names. I cannot divulge any details at this point. However, I will actually start getting a little more active on Twitter as soon as I get more information about guests. And who knows, maybe my Twitter will stir up a few guests to come by. We'll see. But don't plan on being anywhere Friday night or Saturday morning. We're going to go as long as Carl will put up with us. Well, and with Mickey, that, probably just disconnected.
Mickey, as long as you don't promote any world title holders, I'm saying as long as you don't false advertise and say you're going to get a world title holder on here and then turn out to be a tag team champion, it'll be cool.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, she's too smart to be Dixie.
Let's just put it this way. I hate bait and switch on both sides of the coin. I would not do that. I don't do that. Because, first of all, that's rude. Second of all, you lose fans with bait and switch because it's such a tired cliche used in the wrestling business that people, if you fool them once, they're going to say screw you. It's not shame on you, then shame on me. No, it's pretty much you're going to pull that shit on me.
All right, fuck you.
And I'm out. It's that simple. I will not bait and switch, but these two are confirmed.
Well, no one's expecting you to screw anyone over anyways, Nikki. So
it'll be the greatest night in the history of our show. So, really, we don't have that much else on the kit. But here's the reason I brought you on the show, Chris. You're a cartoon nut as much as I am.
Yes.
And WWE has decided that they are going do their version of they're kind of doing their John Rappin wrestling. We have two options. What's that?
Said unfortunately.
Well, the first one that was put out there was Camp WWE, which is essentially WWE Babies meets Camp Candy. and done by the people who brought us King of the Hill. This is targeted as for the older audience and will be aired as webisodes with poor Vince as the camp counselor who...
He looks like a tombstone with
a dated reference. He should be wearing a great big button that says my name... Oh, no, he needs a button that says my name is Morty. Thank you. Two people actually got that. Okay. The other one, the other cartoon that I was interested in, Chris, and if you've taken a look at some of the stuff, looks like they're banking a little bit on the popularity of the Rumblers or the Power Slammers, I can't tell, to produce a show called Slam City.
Okay. I didn't see actually the image of it, I just read the description of it, though.
Okay. Essentially, the style reminds me a lot of Superhero Squad.
Okay.
We have a mysterious figure who calls himself the Finisher, who has fired all of the WWE wrestlers. So they're forced to have regular jobs.
Damn you, Triple H.
I don't think Triple H is the finisher, judging from the artwork. Let me get you guys a picture. A preview of this show is going to be played at the Rumble. So we will get, you know, we will get a look, you know, get a look at this. Where's the group shot? Here we go. Okay, so I've put the group shot in chat. When you do come across this, the people, for our listeners, the featured wrestlers will include Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, The Big Show, Rey Mysterio, The Miz, John Cena, of course, CM Punk, yes. Oh, wrong guy. Alberto Del Rio, Wade Barrett, Brock Lesnar, and pre-corporate Kane. So, damn, they put an animation series together and it's already dated!
The finisher looks like a cross between IRS and a Mortal Kombat character. I don't know.
It's essentially a guy in a sleeveless suit wearing a tie with a great big F on it and a demon head mask. But I see short salt and peppery hair behind it, so I think it's Vince.
I was going to say, I can see it going a higher power route, but a little more family-friendly than Jim Ross's reaction.
It'll probably, if they're going to do the family-friendly reaction, everybody just falls over.
I think everyone would be losing their minds if they finally take off the mask and it's revealed Shane McMahon has returned to animation.
Oh my God. Everybody would come and watch that show.
Now there's one major question I have to ask.
Okay.
Knowing the history of wrestling and TV shows, who will Brad Garrett voice on this show?
I was waiting for that reference.
I would love to see him voice Sheamus for some reason. I don't know why.
Can you do the accent? Or is that part of the point?
Oh, well, if he can't do the accent, if he tries it, it'll still be hilarious.
Well, what are the promo picks that's out there? Kills me. Shows some of the guys, and it says fired by the finisher. So what do these champions do with day jobs? They made CM Punk the good humor guy.
Oh boy.
Makes sense given his demand for the ice cream bars.
So he's gonna make them.
I'm just worried if they give Brock Lesnar an office job, because I remember what happened last time he was in an office.
But see, that's the fun part. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, trying to, it sounds like a one note thing, but each of these different wrestlers trying to find regular jobs amuses me, especially after Triple H's rant to the Big Show about him being the world's largest gas station attendant. Foreshadowing anyone?
They can do the Halloween episode. Sheamus gets a job at the haunted house as a ghost.
If they're going with a day job, I'm just hoping for one nod and a wink and have Kane try to be a dentist.
Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 and yes. And I want another nod and a wink. I want Ziggler to caddy.
Yes.
Well, first Kane becomes the dentist, and then when he gets fired from that, the next week he becomes a truck driver.
Oh, God.
This is a little more obscure, but do we get Barrett in a lab?
Yes. He works at SeaWorld now.
Now I'm just picturing him giving the bull hammer to varying animals.
Or a drum move. You're going to get a bull hammer right to the face.
So does John Cena get to reprise his limo driver thing?
Rey Mysterio working at a local Chico's Tacos. It's like, oh, gosh. Hey, man, my taco's cold. 619.
You forgot the straw. 7-Eleven.
He works at a 7-Eleven and passes out straws to everybody.
This shit writes itself. And then I also need a rotoscoped scene of Kane on the phone. For catering service.
I don't know why, but can anyone else imagine Wade Barrett as a Bobby? Just one of those, those people at the front of the Queen's Palace. It's like...
Okay, I could see him.
The first person that goes up and tries to make him break character is going to get bull hammered.
Oh yeah, that'd be the funny part of it. Like some guy just comes by and pisses on him, and he'd be like, "Bad news for you, bull hammer."
Would it be complete with him yelling out, "Boom"?
Yeah, boom. Or you don't hear him, you hear the Westminster. Behind him.
Or the Queen coming out. I do believe you just got bull hammered. Good day.
These are free ideas, WWE. If you're going to do a second season, here's some episode ideas for you.
It really does run itself.
It does. And looking at the preview card again, it looks like the figures are going to be based on the Rumblers and not the Power Slammers. I'm a big fan of the Rumblers figures myself, so they already have my money. Chris, you're a cartoon nut. Would you watch this?
Oh, probably. If nothing else, then I could if it doesn't last too long, I could watch... review it eventually on my show, but I'm going to watch it just to see how crazy it is anyway. And at the very least, it can't be any worse than that Vince McMahon ass show right there.
Anything would be better than Vince McMahon's ass. Fourth, will you be watching the show?
I'm definitely a lot more curious about it, so I may very well watch it.
And Shano, if we can get this down your way.
Give me the Miz as a Burger King drive-thru worker and you have me sold.
He'd work with McDonald's because he's got the M's right there.
I'd love to see him work at Burger King and just go, try our new Whopper, it's awesome! Be like...
Again, this shit writes itself.
Yes. I'm just disappointed Undertaker wasn't in there. I'd love to see what they could do with him on there.
Well, I highly doubt I see him as a florist. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, he would. He would be the one that makes the black rose wreaths that show up at weddings saying, "We'll all miss you."
Oh yeah. here are the black roses you will. Rest in peace. It's like...
I think we know why Undertaker's not in there. They came up to him, they asked him, and I think there's a sound clip that you can cue, Nikki, about what he said about it.
Let's see. I think the first one I come across is not him.
Thinking of a number between one and no.
Okay.
But the actual question was...
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Yes.
And if it really takes off, I'm looking forward to the crossovers.
Come on, kids. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Somewhere Jim Williams just hurt himself.
The crossover will only work if they get a Daniel Bryan in there, and he's with Twilight Sparkle, and they're both doing the yes over and over again.
Now, would Bryan actually turn into a goat instead of a pony?
He'd be Iron Will's little brother.
Well, if The Rock gets involved, we already know what he's going to look like. So,
yeah.
Oh, I also thought of one for Cena if he doesn't work out as a limo driver for this cartoon show. Have him as a traffic controller and just have him stop people and go, "You can't see me."
But I could also see him directing traffic, like the bodybuilder directing traffic in the Geico commercials. Where he's out there pointing and hawking his merchandise at the same time.
We need to get Biggie Langston for that one.
Yes. And Biggie Langston needs to be on this cartoon show. Please. I don't care how, I don't care why, put him on the show. Oh, yeah. The other running gag, Brock Lesnar has a different job every episode. Because he quits each time. Oh, sorry. Hi. That's going to get me hurt. A lot.
Yeah. Your Uncle Paul is shaking his head in the hospital room, Nikki.
My dear Uncle Paul, I'm still trying to figure out how he got the crap kicked out of him that badly and still was able to fly to Europe. Where the hell did he get the money for that kind of airlift? And why wasn't I allowed to go along?
No, he didn't fly to Europe. He got on a boat because Brock Lesnar carried him onto the boat to get to Europe.
Knowing Lesnar, he swam the whole way, too.
So you're pretty much saying that Lesnar was a shepherd then. It's like, here we go.
Yes.
Come on, Paul. We're almost at Europe.
You are now imagining Brock Lesnar just walking along the bottom of the ocean with my Uncle Paul on his back.
We've seen Brock Lesnar F5 a shark, okay? Anything's possible.
That's right.
Yes, okay.
So, with all these wonderful images in my mind, I think I'm going to call it a show. But before we go, Shane, you probably don't have anything to promote, but I am obligated to ask you anyway.
There is one thing. Just hang on one second, because there is another show I do with these guys that actually did an interview with Animal this past week.
Awesome.
Road Warrior Animal. It's called Monkey Spank Radio, and no, I'm not the one that came up with the name for that. So do check them out on radio, Monkey Spank Radio. They did a great show with Road Warrior Animal and, I forget the guy's name. He's a local manager at down there in America. God, if I can find the episode again, I'll tell you. But yeah, do check it out. It was a great interview, and they got some great stories from Joe Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Animal, that day.
Awesome. Fourth, I know you have something you could promote, but you don't have to.
Yes, well, in addition to the two that I will promote, there is Typho, who's back on now Tuesday nights at the other place. There's the Sports Digest, which we tape every Friday night. And one thing from WrestleCrap I want to promote, Justin Henry wrote the 30 Years of WrestleCrap, basically a game mode encompassing all the WrestleCrap from WrestleMania the last three decades.
He should just send that over to Uncle Paul and we'll get it as DLC. Chris, you have some promoting to do, I'm sure.
Yes, I still haven't updated it yet because two jobs have been keeping me busy. But I have my site. MrCMWaters.blogspot.com. I have watercolors where I review animation, and that's why you got me on the show in the first place. I got Washout, where I've only have two episodes of it, but I review wrestling-based media. I have the Archie Sonic Comics Showcase, where I review the Sonic the Hedgehog comics by Archie Comics. And coming this Christmas season, I will have Episodic Christmas. From the 1st of December to the 25th of December, I will review one episode of a TV show, one Christmas episode of a TV show every day, and it will be a different show every day.
And if you happen to be up in my area, Heavy on Wrestling will be having a show in St. Paul on November 30th. Card to be determined, but the tickets are very reasonable. Give me a moment while I load this up. Yeah, tickets are ringside seats are $15, general admission $5. You know, I realize you guys aren't local, but I'm promoting this anyway. Good Lord. Let's see, what do we got here? Ah. One of the big names that will be showing up at this event will be Rikishi Fatu.
Ooh.
I actually got his autograph recently, so that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, he's coming. He'll be coming on the 30th. Get off your phone. Anyway, check these guys out. Look for Heavy on Wrestling on Facebook. And check out the sizes of the crowd they get. Be jealous, Dixie. So, for the slightly muffled Chris Waters, for Shane Beeman, who's all the way on the other side of the planet and still sounds better than Chris. For Fourth, who's probably still partying about the Red Sox. And what'd you think of Big Poppy with the big belt?
Definitely looked awesome. I would definitely say that was one true highlight of the parade.
So for that, 299 episodes down, next episode, 300, with Johnny Bad Wheels, with Super Oprah, and hopefully a few other surprises. I'm not baiting
like us
switchy.
All in togas.
What's that?
Like us all in togas.
No, I couldn't do that. I can't do that to our listening audience. We have faces for radio, trust me. But I'm not going to bait and switch. I am working on getting a few other names on there. If they don't show up, that's not my fault. I tried. So, this has been the North American Wrestling Connection. We will be back. You will come listen to us, of course. And, in the words of VRM,
stay pony, my friends.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.